That there was definitely a wave of that, right? Of just ridiculous coins.
It's like whatever was the meme of du jour. Harambe coin.
Harambe coin.
Because you know, this week, you know we would have had, right?
What? OJ coin?
OJ coin. Right here, man.
What would that have helped you pay for?
Juice coin?
Juice coin.
That's just on a dark net, nigga. You can only get
pay for legal fees.
Legal fees, nigga. Yeah, that's some shit you get on Silk Road, nigga. You gotta get some wet work.
Wet work or weapons, actually. Wet work.
Juice coin. Send the link. Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and ridiculous speculator, DJ Dollars. DJ, are you ready for the future?
As always.
I'm glad you are, man.
You give me a bit of a blast from the past, though, with this Napster long sleeve on. I'm kind of envious,
this
yo.
This is kind of like appropriate,
you
know,
Sean
right?
Parker shit?
You know what? I'm on my scammy investor game.
You know? Your disruption?
Disruption, man. Gotta fuck industry. Yeah. It's the future.
Yeah. The proto-libertarian way. Right?
I know, man. You gotta do that. You gotta move to Vermont or some shit. New Hampshire.
Yeah, live or die.
Before we get into our main topic, disruption is a big thing that hurts me, and I wish that I thought about this before we talked about a pod. They shut down the big NBA illegal stream site. Shit, so I'm hurting.
Send the link.
So shout out to disruption, man. It's important to keep us all plugged into things we need in life.
Yeah, I'm sure another one will pop up soon enough.
You know, if the market can't do it.
Were you trying to catch Summer League?
On illegal stream or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
You just wanted to have it in place for October post.
You know, I don't want to have to re-find these things. You're navigating the internet. Like, it's too shady.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know,
we'll figure it out.
We're definitely back hitting you with another regular pod. We just hit you on one, but you get with you with the back-to-back two-piece. Pow, pow.
Two-piece.
Indeed. Crazy, crazy happenings. We have three interesting stories, two of which are definitely on the pulse. You can feel it beating, man. This is, and one that gives us a look into one of my favorite topics to talk about here in this pod, white evil. So first, DJ, I wanted to dive right in, and we got a good breakdown of this from TechCrunch from John Constantine. I almost thought it was Constantine. Mm. About the newest player in the financial world, Facebook.
Shit.
And their introduction to Libra cryptocurrency. DJ, you watched a little primer video on it from WAPO. Take that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about where Facebook is leading us into the future?
Okay, for one, as an actual Libra, I take offense at their typeface and the actual logo that they're using.
You don't like this this triple tilde?
I know. We're good with the triple tilde and the lack of the actual zodiac symbol. Kind of tight. But beyond that, none of this shit really shakes out until we know. It looks like it's some type of global payment and transaction system that they're trying to get off the ground, with a lot of buy-in from most entities associated with Facebook. And that is the double-edged sword in itself, right? That it is emanating from Facebook, a company that's had a multitude of problems that's scaled at such a massive rate, despite its managerial and design issues.
Yes.
For at least its core product. They've obviously made acquisitions of other services that have proven to be successful, and they've
I have a note on that, but keep going.
Yeah, and they've, you know, driven a lot of revenue and profit out of most of their ventures, but it's become a self-sustaining force with what the majority of human beings having accounts on the service,
something like that,
and hundreds of millions of people being active users on a daily and weekly basis. But despite all that, I'm not one, and I'm not one to be a Facebook user.
Respect.
So up until I see real viability out of this, and viability out of cryptocurrencies in particular, especially being someone that lost in the neighborhood of a couple thousand on fucking
cryptos.
This is
what I want to get back to. Crypto in general. Now you have a big player. It's like, I'm fucking with it. as someone who was a little early, not early enough, but a little early, how do you feel about, like, are you willing to, if it's not Facebook, but, you know, are you willing to put the toe back into digital money?
I mean, the transaction system, it makes perfect sense, and there are a lot of other companies and institutions that are piloting these type of things. Hopefully they can interact with one another or something like that. Like all that type of shit is rather straightforward. Like, instead of using, you know, Western Union that has very high fees in sub-Saharan Africa, instead you use this Facebook Libra payment system to make your transactions. Like, that's all perfectly fine. That shit seems like it'll work. So I don't even know where I was going with that, but what was your question? Maybe the answer.
Oh, I had a comment. Well,
what was a comment?
No. My question was, like, are you willing to jump back into crypto? Because you're like, oh, yeah, I was fucking with crypto, you know, Bitcoin, all that shit.
I mean, it's been going through its booms and busts, right? It seems like it's in the middle ground nowadays. Apparently, a lot of these cryptos are edging back upwards, but not actually, not exploding by any means. You in? I'm in with whatever the fuck I already had in there. I just left most of my shit in there. So, it just remains to be seen, right? This to the contrary of your Bitcoins and Ethereums and Ripples and whatnot is supposedly centrally controlled. Is that correct? That's what you've come across?
Well, so the idea of this organization that is going to monitor the...
Yeah. Develop that, but that's a big difference from having these decentralized
hackers and shit developing coins.
Yeah, crypto coins that are where we're very prone to manipulation, hacking, pumping and dumping. Everything just seemed to be rather opaque. The market trends really didn't make much sense. And a lot of people were, you know, prodded along and put a lot of money in these cryptocurrencies, only to see many of them fall flat. And with so many cryptocurrency offerings, it makes it even tougher to choose between one, because nobody wants to be using 80,000 different currencies just to pay for a pair of sneakers.
Right.
And that's why countries and economic unions have centralized currencies. Like, that's how these economic models came about, and why the U.S. has, like, the U.S. dollar, because we didn't want to be playing with, like, they used to be, like, California would have its own currency, Georgia, they all had their own currency. And that shit just basically just got confusing and cumbersome. So they just unified it under the U.S. dollar. And, like, you have, like, the euro or the pound. And smaller countries and smaller economies, many of them use the U.S. dollar because it's a centrally controlled and stable currency.
Exactly.
So that is obviously a completely different paradigm from what cryptocurrencies are trying to pull off. But that is a benefit, and it provides a lot of stability and clarity.
Yeah. So the decentralization of the cryptocurrency wave is being taken away, but the ease and the combination of the oneness is there, that we all share this currency, but who is running it is now, I mean, this weird corporate oligopoly or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a couple of financial firms I know that are piloting cryptocurrencies as well, and just about all of these are just used for a means of transactions and maintaining.
People aren't really trying to, like, put their investment savings into, you know, cryptocurrencies. This exchange issue that is being solved here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, literally, you're talking about, like FX, right?
Yeah.
So this mostly immediately poses to benefit smaller developing countries,
right?
That have issues related to infrastructure or access to not liquidity, but actual cash or localized currency. And or internet, so
and banking systems, and security of your country to uphold this banking system, and theoretically, you can put this money in the safe hands of Facebook and they'll hold it for
apparently,
you.
Apparently, you know, this is what's looked at as a, not a market risk, but a credit risk. Because, like, is Facebook a credible, is it a credible company? Is Facebook a credible company? I would say no, personally. No matter what they say, or this guy that had the weird gray eyebrows explaining what Libra was, I'm just not convinced. If Mark Zuckerberg were to step down, that would be like the first step in me like giving some type of trust into the company,
accountability to this public trust. I'm on the flip side, DJ.
You're all in.
We're about to get our Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith on.
You pushing in?
You're blasphemous.
Then we gotta be more belligerent. We gotta get louder and just like give more flippant answers and looks at each other.
I'm in. Not necessarily for Facebook. There's two things that I find humorous. Number one, the sort of God complex of these niggas at Facebook. Zuckerberg. It'd be great if he stepped down. It'd be great if we were like China. We were like, the government owned this shit now. Like, and just took it over and took the ideas. But I'm impressed. I'm impressed by the fact that in terms of, I guess, business planning, they bought WhatsApp and they're like, huh, now we got all these motherfuckers with accounts everywhere that are actually using this to talk to people. Yeah. We know we have Messenger. We know y'all really don't fuck with that, but we got WhatsApp and that shit is international. And we already are in every international country with that first issue of exchange that I can't use my international phone network. Mm-hmm. So I'm using the Wi-Fi, and that is this sort of first issue. And you bundle that with the transactional issue with finances. I'm like, huh, all right, I'm sold. And after reading a little bit of the article and perusing how it's supposed to work and blah, 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 it's a great pitch. It's a great pitch. I'm with you on my reticence about who was leading the pitch. But I'm like, oh, this is a good fucking idea. The only thing that's funny is like this whole Libra association is the thing that is like, this shit is evil. Like, this is like, this is the beginning. That video is like, this is the beginning of some kind of fucking movie.
So that's what you told me to hold on. That shit looked like.
I know.
Remember like those old like mid 2000s YouTube videos you would watch about like the New World Order and some shit coming together like to establish the one
you put the chip in your brain, nigga.
You put the chip in your brain, you got with like one unified economy and country and currency. That's basically what this shit is.
Yeah.
And that's basically kind of what this like super, you know, right wing
effuse logo is shit. It's like, look, nigga, it's three squiggles.
but like that's what the whole right wing backlash is supposedly to, like the whole like just entire globalized economy and currency system.
But if it's led through economy, they'll be like, whatever, libertarianism, nigga, is wild, and it's fine.
Yeah, but I guess the chances, well, this one is not decentralized, so I guess that might be problematic as well. But yeah, there are like upteen companies part of this amalgamation to sustain this.
All right, so I'm gonna tell you of all of the countries involved, and this is 28 members of the initial Libra Association, and they all have different amounts of influence and capital that they're investing, and also, you know, services and whatnot. So you tell me which of these is the most evil and most apt to, you know, have some evil shit behind the scenes when they're trying to take over the world. So, and they're involved in different areas of the company. Payments, you got MasterCard, PayPal, PayU, which I've never heard of, Stripe and Visa, Booking Holdings. These are technology marketplaces. eBay, obviously Facebook, which is their subsidiary Calibra, Farfetch, Lyft, Mercado Pago, Spotify, Uber Technologies, telecommunications. You got Iliad and Vodafone International, Vodafone, blockchain, Anchorage, Bison Trails, Coinbase. You know, so it's all coming together. Zappo Holdings. And here you go. Here's the bad guys. Venture Capital. Andreessen Horowitz. Breakthrough Initiatives. Ribbit Capital. Thrive Capital. Union Square Ventures. And nonprofit organizations and academic institutions. The Creative Destruction Lab.
Oh, gosh.
Kiva. Mercy Corps. And Women's World Banking.
So, I think they just glossed it up a bit from all of those names. It just sounds as if they'll just be taking Libra coins, like that's all they mean. Like, you can pay for a Lyft with Libra coins.
I think part of it is that there's a few things. So they all provide something different, supposedly, to the association. The thing that you mentioned is that tentatively So the way it works, let's take a step back. You know, DJ is obviously very savvy and intellectual person who understands financial markets, all these sort of things. But you listeners, we want to bring you up to speed. So blockchain technology, whatever, you it's a register of a ledger of transactions.
Yeah, public ledger.
So that's basically what it is. So Facebook has developed this one where they have an internal public ledger. And that's what will be used to track it. You put your money in, it goes, boop, here's Libra coin, boom, and they track it. A couple things that make it different. There's no decimal. You can't own like 0.2 shares of the shit. Like you put in your dollar, nigga, that's however many Libra coins, and that's how you track it. Potentially, depending on how things run, all the money you put in there, you receive a dividend on the interest portion that's minus whatever their operating costs are. So you receive dividend back from your money that's sitting in this Libra account. The way it's going to function for certain companies and businesses is that they are going to incentivize you to use it via WhatsApp or obviously Instagram, which they also own because they have the Instagram direct to purchase now. Yeah. If you're scrolling on Instagram with direct to purchase and you see Spotify's ad, you're like, yo, sign up for 8 months with Spotify. You can just be like, I don't need to waste my time typing in my credit card number. I'll just use my Libra account. Boom. Oh, and I get a discount on it because I'm using Libra. Mm-hmm. Great. So as DJ speculated, you'll be in a world where you're going to be incentivized to use all these, this sort of thing. And it's genius. Evil, probably. But I don't know. Like, it's just...
I mean, it sounds a lot like credit cards, but not based on credit.
But scarier. Yeah, it's not based on credit. It's just based on the fact that, I don't know. Less, like, I'm trying to think, what's there? What do they get out of it?
What do they get out of it? More data?
More data. Supposedly not shared with the social side of your data.
Sure thing.
They give you back some of your, here's some of your interest back. Have some of that, which is okay. Weird. But I don't know, man. We'll definitely see. It's pegged, they're not going to peg it to individual currency, so it's not going to be right to U.S. dollars. It'll, I guess, translate to whatever formula they come up with. But I don't know. I'm just, wow. I feel like I'm in the future, man. It's happened.
I mean, to be honest, for those of us here in the U.S., the shit is not that different in many ways. As we said, it will most benefit people in foreign countries, particularly like developing countries most immediately. If you don't have what you said, this is not really credit. So if you, I don't know, if you don't have the cash on you, then you can just use this, presumably. But beyond that.
And then other way, you know, remittances, yeah, and shit. So you don't have to pay fees and things on that.
Right. And you said they're not using like foreign exchange to speculate on the value of it. It's going to be pegged by some type of formula,
yeah,
per se. So so it's not really like, it's not much room for any type of like boom or bust to it. It's only room for more or less usage of it.
I love DJ just like, you know, this is just, you know, this is what shit is now.
Because a lot of entities are coming out with cryptocurrencies, but this shit's not really causing as much of a revolution as one would think, or at least not immediately.
I would say, just for me, where I'm like, whoosh, mind blown, is that it's actually happening now, because like somebody, like some shit that's running, well, more than half of the world is like, oh, we're gonna do it now.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, all the, you know, this is us Wild Westers, the frontier's over now, baby.
It's basically like if Visa was a social media company.
And I think they were speculating this, but I guess this allows them to do it, because Visa being part of it, I was hearing, weren't they supposed to do this sort of shit earlier? And now it's like, oh, well, let the niggas do it. We'll put our name on it.
Yeah, because Facebook has the massive user base and infrastructure to pull this off. And the weird benefit of just having a, you know, Web 2.0, 3.0 tech company is there are no structural boundaries or impediments to continuing to grow and or come out with new products, because technology and services and apps are amorphous. You can code and make anything.
They're going to mine shit, nigga.
Yeah, so it's just like Facebook is just trying to shit out to see if it worked. They've also tried cell phones, and that weird Facebook video
portal
chat shit. Yeah, you know, portal. Yeah. And
I was not with that. I was like, what is this?
Oh no, they have my man Neil Patrick Harris on there trying to sell it.
I don't. That whole thing confuses me because people want those.
No,
Apple, fucking Amazon, like.
I don't know.
No phones.
Know. Maybe they're doing better market research than I. Sure. They clearly are, but I've never seen really a big market in that. Maybe a lot of old ladies like trying to speak to their children and grandkids, and that's exactly what they're showing actually in their Facebook. Because
it's the easiest way for them to do it, I guess. I don't know.
Whatever.
Now that we've got that settled.
Yeah, I mean, today is Tuesday the
June 18th.
June 19th.
18th.
Tomorrow's Juneteenth?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh, shit. We turning up tomorrow.
We free.
Yeah, we got to make that more of a thing. But, yeah, the press release just came out today, right? So, yeah. Maybe we'll revisit this once both of us ruminate over a little bit, learn the pros and cons, see how it rolls out, try doing a transaction or two with it whenever.
And it also doesn't have the fun of wild speculation of like, yeah. I can get rich off it.
Yeah, you just can't if it's just pegged to some shit. It's like, oh, okay. Because like I said, there are a couple of firms that like they have shit basically pegged to a dollar, to a US dollar. So you just like convert it into that and then you could do those transactions, but it's just a different currency.
Yeah.
It's like the same shit.
And we're already using credit cards anyway. That's nothing. Anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this shit is not that different than a credit card. It's just more people can do it and you can apply it to more things faster, which is dope.
Especially because credit cards are like, we're just numbers. Yeah. People that, you know, you don't think about it that way, but it's like, yeah, you can call somebody and just tell them the numbers.
Via credit card?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, if you're making a purchase, like, yo, here, my credit card is just this series of numbers.
Oh, yeah. Are you saying, like, compared to, because, like, the ledger type of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just registered a different way. But, I mean, there's money to be made.
I mean, the only thing that's most depressing about, I guess, the cryptocurrency becoming Square, man, is you don't get any of the fun coins. They're all going to go away.
There was definitely a wave of that, right? Of just ridiculous coins.
It's like whatever was the meme of du jour. Harambe coin.
Harambe coin.
Because you know, this week, you know we would have had, right?
What? OJ coin?
OJ coin. Right here, man.
What would that have helped you pay for?
Juice coin?
That's coin.
That's just on a dark net, nigga. You can only get
that. Pay for legal fees?
Legal fees, nigga. Yeah, that's some shit you get on Silk Road, nigga. You got to get some wet work.
Wet work or weapons, actually. Wet work.
Juice coin.
Yeah, yeah. I want to be able to use my Libra on the Silk Road. RIP.
I just had some dark ass shit I keep to myself. I was like, damn. That's how niggas got Big Poppy. It's fucking terrible. Pay them niggas in juice coin.
That's not that dark, yo. He made it out, yo.
Oh, that's crazy. Did you, like, before we move on to this, have you read anything about that? You sent that to me, right?
Yeah.
$8,000? Come on, man.
Yo, no cap. That's mad bread in NDR.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not enough.
To take out a national hero.
To take out a national hero, dog? To get your rep paid for 6 months? Come on, man.
Yo.
No way.
That's more than 6 months in DR.
It's not that much, man.
It is.
$8,000. I want to say it's like 10 to 1, maybe, in American dollars, in pesos or some shit. Like,
so that's $80,000? What would you do? You wouldn't...
I wouldn't...
You wouldn't try to...
Can I kill Kerry Kittles for $80,000? No!
You could kill Kerry Kittles for $8,000.
Hell no, nigga. That mid.
We ain't talking about Kenya Martin or Jason Kidd, like the stars on the team. That was
easy. $80,000,
nigga? No! Yeah.
That's not enough.
For Kerry Kittles? You were supposed to say Jason Kidd.
No, like that's the
analog. Basically, what we're saying is, Big Poppy David Ortiz, Boston Red Sox designated hitter, great multi-time champion.
But would you save
Dominican? he retired recently and was out hanging out in DR and got and he was part. People tried to assassinate him.
Would you save money if you did the transaction through Libra though? He got the shit.
Oh, like no fees or anything?
Silk Road's a partner and shit. They're like, nigga, you could save it if you do it through Libra. Save $2,000.
You get some type of benefit for doing it too. Like you get a free night, a free bullet, a free clip.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, God.
They try to take out Big Poppy, don't die. We've been following that story because Brandon didn't really quite believe me. I'm like, when we found out he got shot, I was like,
nothing from that article revealed that he was doing anything shady.
It didn't, but I said, but what did I say in the minute? If I recall correctly in that conversation, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he was doing some wild shit out there in DR. And maybe he wasn't specifically, but he got involved with some wild shit or some wild shit came to him. They just tried to assassinate this nigga in his own country. They had to bring him back to Boston. Like the Red Sox had to fly him out of there on a fucking propeller plane.
God damn.
Tail spinning out of there. Shit. He said he's a good man. He doesn't deserve to die.
That's fucking crazy, man. The news is like, it's just starting to become a random event generator and shit. I'm like, God damn. It's terrible, man.
That was a wild story, though. My man, Big Poppy. I'm a Yankees fan, but yeah.
Everybody got to love a Big Poppy. Don't matter. Man. So back to the murderer du jour. I mean, fucking OJ, the juice, is on Twitter, y'all. He's back.
He had been on Twitter before?
No, but like he's...
Oh, back in the public spotlight?
He's back in the public spotlight.
Okay.
I mean, this is... Now, we're both Dave Chappelle fans, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And you saw... His stand-up special when he talked about Mike Pence and what kneeling athletes do to a sort of white the white frustrations,
yeah,
and it flares them and enrages them, and he posited that we could end racism if OJ made it to the 50-yard line and kneeled. And this kind of feels like a moment in this sort of outrage shit where it's like, this is what y'all wanted on Twitter. Y'all wanted all this bullshit. Y'all wanted absurdity and constant hot takes and outrage culture. That formed OJ Simpson joining Twitter and trolling niggas. My greeting, y'all. Hey, y'all. It's OJ. I'm making my inaugural video to let y'all know that this is the real account. OJ32. And I got some getting back to do.
Yo, why hasn't Twitter verified him?
He got a video. He should be verified.
Do they have one of those boxes? You know, they're trying to remove. At least Obama and Eric Holder were trying to start off an initiative so they could remove the boxes of have you been convicted of a felony and shit.
Oh, you offered that? They have it on Twitter.
You wonder if Twitter has that box.
I mean,
and he had to check it, so he can't get verified.
After the Alex Jones shit, like, Jack got to do another press tour or shit. You know, and go OJ on Twitter. Well, you know, I mean, shit.
People going to start trolling him and shit. Give him the blue check. Nah, I mean, has he really... that nigga has CTE, though. Is he really dropping bars like that?
So the first thing, he just sort of lets out this absurd, like,
that's not a little video.
But his initial is like... Second video, he's posting pretty regularly though. He's addressed this sort of Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, that is his daughter.
Yeah, I keep hearing that this rumor about Khloe Kardashian and my relationship with Kris Jenner.
Oh, so he's just gonna be like a living meme personality on there for the next couple months till he gets tired of it. Is that what's popping?
I don't know, but he's decided to solve that issue and say, hey, you know, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all.
Come on. I'm the juice, man.
I'm the juice. Rob was my friend, you know. So that's absurd. This is absurd. This is just, I don't know how I can live in this Twitter sphere where we are.
Yo, you remember what the first thing I said when you pointed it out? Like, yo, OJ joined Twitter or whatever. No, I had seen that earlier. I thought it was a parody account. Not because I saw a tweet from that same account that said, I did kill her. I'm like dead ass.
I mean, I believe it.
No, I know. So I thought that he was just living his truth, like on some like just fuck it.
Is he started this account to just like reveal? And he might think he got cancer or some shit. He's like, I'm out anyway. I'm just gonna tell y'all.
I mean,
like the fucking Mattel woman.
That whole shit was settled anyway. Yeah, I'm saying through court and through civil court as well. And he also did fat time for stealing his own memorabilia
at gunpoint.
clearly was on a coke binge with his homies.
And CT.
What's that?
And plus CT.
And CT, just to sprinkle it on the top. So I thought he was just coming out with it, but apparently that was a fake tweet. So I went back and then I saw that he only had put up that pin video that you had acted out very well a few moments ago.
So DJ, what does this say about us? I want to gauge your bean counting skill here. You're looking at this jelly bean jar of followers.
Hmm.
How many followers are in the OJ Simpson Twitter jar?
Right now? Probably like 300,000.
640,000.
Damn. Okay, double that. Okay.
I mean, I just...
His shit is just not that fire enough.
And rising, I'm sorry. 733K.
What is he posting? Is 6 hours. Kanye shit?
Taken 6 hours ago. Taking an early look at fantasy football. Who's his clear number one? He's trying to draft. He's adding people too. So.
Oh my god.
Who's his number one in fantasy football?
Aaron Rodgers?
Pat Mahomes.
Pat
Mahomes is my clear number one. But with Cheetah, which is Tyreek Hill's status still up in air, I'm debating Baker Mayfield or Todd Gurley III. What do y'all think? Am I missing someone?
You keep putting this voice on. That, oh man.
Thanks to all my new Twitter followers. Love learning how to use Twitter. He only has four posts. And then the one about Kris Jenner. First thing I want to set this straight is talking about the media about me and Kris Jenner.
Send it straight.
So, I mean, the number's up from 640 to 733K as of now. And I'm not following him because, you know, I don't have to follow him to keep up with him. And he's also following 8 people.
That's a good ratio right there.
That's a fire ratio. Wow. I could you imagine who they are? The accounts that he's following? What are the accounts that OJ's following?
He's following Donald Trump.
No.
No?
I mean, I'm joking. I think you could probably guess at least 7 of these.
Is he following a Kardashian?
No.
Okay, give me a...
And they're all not individual people. They're
not individual people?
Yeah, they're organizations.
The Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
USC Trojans football.
Yes.
Who was it? Oakland Raiders?
No. You're close, though.
Hertz, car rental service.
The NFL.
Great account. Just always fire input from the NFL.
The Heisman Trophy.
He's following the Heisman.
The Heisman Trophy.
Okay.
Some nigga named Tim Graham. I don't know who this is. Maybe he's a writer, so I guess he's probably fucking with OJ, get his book out. The PGA Tour. The real killer, his son, Justin Simpson. which is crazy because his bio is Justin Simpson. J. Simpson sells real estate, home, investing. Honesty is your word. Integrity is keeping it. I'm going to leave that at that. And, of course, his lawyer.
Which one, Garagos?
No, Malcolm Laverde, Sin City Eternity, practicing in New York, Texas, and Nevada. Six-time marathon finisher. And my profile picture is, of course, me and OJ.
Of course. So his feed is probably super weak then.
The lawyer?
No, this OJ's feed.
Yeah, I mean, he's only got 4 posts as of now.
Yeah, but he's...
He just watching NFL highlights and shit.
He plotting the next fire-ass tweet. I don't know, maybe he'll get drunk and say some wild shit.
It's funny because he's, I guess, clearly taking the time and energy to use this to some extent, whether that's video or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what's also killing me is, did you miss another Twitter supervillain made an appearance? Now, unless there are some sort of lax standards at this government institution or a major power play or some great... smuggling operations. Bill Cosby tweeted on Father's Day.
On Father's Day?
Yes. Oh, he's like, hey, y'all, it's America's dad.
Oh, really?
Yes. is not a lie, sir.
I mean, what does this mean? What does this mean? SB.
What does it mean? It means that he still has 3.5 million followers, and he did his first tweet since, I don't know. I'm like, who's managing this?
That's almost like a joke.
Because it's like, it definitely was his official Twitter account. And then I guess post him being convicted and all this shit, they're like, oh, let's just, I don't know, let's make it a meme.
Yo, I mean, both of them are just living memes, right? At this point.
Dude, this is, I don't know, man. This is weird shit.
I thought we were going to do this last.
I did too, but the segue was too good. We could obviously end in something more important and on the political pulse. If everybody would enjoy that listening.
Because I'm just confused about why OJ has a Twitter account still. I don't know. Like what, just whenever people live long lives. I think that's
an interesting take. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially him when you think about everything. It's like, damn, this dude went from being the Heisman Trophy winner and professional athlete to becoming a mild television star to becoming the world's most infamous murderer, and then. Just a living sideshow.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. It's crazy, man, to think about. If we can, I guess, move to our more important piece that I sadly said I was going to talk about in the middle and then immediately leapfrog by accident.
Blame OJ.
Henry Grabar, the non-white working class at Slate. So happy. I'm so happy for this piece, Henry. We love you, dog. Wherever you are, because this is sort of, I don't know, it hits at the ethos of this podcast that there are, I guess, normal, middle class, non-white people in the heartland, in somewhere as
many of them
destitute as Youngstown, Ohio. One of my good friends who is white. Is from Youngstown, Ohio. And this is, we met when I was in college and I wasn't really on the pulse. I wasn't on the pulse of what was happening in the middle of America. And I always think about after Trump won and she passively said this to me, like, just like, I will never go back there. Like, Youngstown, oh my gosh. It's like, it's bad. It's some shit. And I was just like, okay, like we would just have light Cavs banter and just, I'd be like, oh, Ohio. And I just, you know, didn't really get into that depth. But I always,
it's not much to think about when it comes to Ohio.
And I always thought about, damn. And then as we've been inundated with these pieces about,
you know, working class and
what happened and all that sort of stuff.
The industrialized America.
I'm like, wow, this is crazy, man. But Henry has given us an opportunity to talk about the good people still fighting the fight.
Or at least just not succumbing to venal, you know, Trumpism and fake populist politics.
And petty, you guys are successful and I'm taking it out of you. My rage is somehow a satisfaction for the way things are.
Yeah, well, you don't get the type of psychic convenience as when you're non-white. So, The black folk of Youngstown, like, they don't get any psychic satisfaction seeing Donald Trump, you know, win the presidency and do well. Like, that's not their fellow white man. So, yeah, it definitely leaves a bit of longing. I think what the piece makes it clear, obviously definitely in contrast to the litany of these, you know, traverses into Middle America pieces from large publications that spend a lot of time with working class, quote unquote, working class white people, and many of them still had jobs, but didn't really see themselves progressing or felt good about their lives and the trajectory of their lives or the lives of their children. That saw them turn towards strongman politics and the Donald Trump candidacy and presidency in particular. What you see is on the other side of that, in these same towns, in particular, Youngstown, in this case, right, Youngstown, Ohio, has been the subject of multiple of these, this genre of pieces. And they always focus on the white working class. But what you wouldn't know is the mayor of the town is black.
Right.
And the town is majority minority. You wouldn't know that from reading any of the other pieces.
You would think it was just coal-smeared white people just in the factories.
Right. And there may be a lot of coal-smeared people, colloquially at least. But yeah, there's a lot of black people that live in that town. And they had the same issues and anxieties as the white people there. But they had enough...
cynicism?
Cynicism, moral clarity, racial understanding, enough to not support Donald Trump in droves. A lot of them weren't quite jazzed up, and many did not vote for Hillary Clinton. But that doesn't mean that they went all the way to the other side of the spectrum and voted for this bigoted demagogue.
They understood the practicality of this situation. It wasn't like a thing to rage and get that out of them.
Not through those means, yeah. Because the downsides of that were clear to them. And maybe that's, and that really is just a lot of, to me, that's just normal black people's sensibility. Like, we just have to be more clear-eyed and coherent of our politics than white people have to.
It's funny because the biggest thing that the issue with the upcoming election and elections in the 16 election with Hillary is like, you know, turnout. Like, turnout. What is the issue with turnout? And it's weird that the fundamental, I guess, issue with, I guess, white voters, I'm not even going to say it's racism because that's over everything.
The core is not racism, no.
But it's like this.
The milieu is racism, yeah.
But it's this sense, I would call it the American dream or an idealism for what America is. Mm-hmm. So, and that colors everything about this discussion we're constantly have. What's going to happen? Oh, well, it'll work out because of our system and these things and all this shit. And the core of what the experience is for black people specifically, and there's other minorities in this mix that fit in different spectrums, but at the dichotomy of how the country was founded, along with the hundreds of thousands of Native Americans millions that were killed and displaced and all that.
Yeah, millions, yeah.
For us, is abject cynicism. So you're split between an absurdist idealism about what things will do, so you will do anything to maintain it, versus a cynicism that makes it like this is almost purposeless. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird level of the dichotomy that is not addressed that I wish was talked about more. Because at the end of the piece, they interview this woman, Sybil West, I guess, was an organizer, and she just is like, listen. Listen, like, at the end of the day, regardless of whether we want to support Hillary, we know that we have to inch forward and select her because, and I quote, opioids, suicides, people can't figure out how to survive. We have always had to live our lives on plan A and plan B. We haven't had much, but we learned how to plan. We're a race that was forced to live with less. And it's just hilarious that the cultural psyche is what is underlying anything, but people don't talk about it, especially with the whole, why don't black people vote? Oh, blah, 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 blah.
And that's not even, I don't think that's as propagated as much as it had been, because black people actually vote in a higher proportion than even like white people.
But just like that's the narrative, and it's funny.
Maybe because there's always just a pervading cynicism emanating from like black people and black literature or political conversations and whatnot. Because there's a lot of reason to be, right? And what you see is people are not that different, right?
Right.
And the people in Youngstown, they all were facing the same issues. They just blamed it and acted on it and are acting on it in different ways. What you're looking at across the entire deindustrialized Midwest is a globalized economy, neoconservative economics, or neoliberal, sorry, economics, sent a lot of those jobs overseas in particular, whether it's to South America or Central America and or China or Bangladesh or, you know, the myriad of places where all our shit gets made. And a lot of that stuff had been made there. And also at the same time, the acceptance of larger markets and more competition, washed out a lot of jobs that were there. The car companies that were all throughout the Midwest are not nearly as hegemonic and big as they had been, because, you know, people's aspirations are to get, you know, Beamer, Benzes, or Bentleys throughout most of the countries, not Cadillacs. Although American-made cars are still very big in the Midwest, for sure. I know that for a fact. So they really got fucked. They really, like, a lot of people just got, they really got played out of their jobs and their livelihood and out of any, like, real semblance of being a major part of the country, like, really driving something. Like, most of the jobs in that city now are service jobs, like people working at Wendy's or, you know, Jiffy Lube or being Uber drivers or whatnot.
Or best, you know, being a nurse or something like that. It's the only things that are sort of, there's no industry there.
No industry. And the there was a famous Lordstown, I think, GM plant that is referenced in the piece as well, that Donald Trump made it a very big thing to draw a lot of attention to and make sure that GM wouldn't close that plant. Now, for one, the president doesn't and shouldn't have that much control over what any one company is doing in capitalist terms, ideally. And they you know, kikied and made face.
A little bit.
Yeah, they kept it open for a little while. A couple months later, shit is closed. So now a couple thousand families that were supported by that factory, they have to go somewhere else. And I guess a different type of cynical person could always be like, why don't you just get up and leave? But it's always extremely difficult to get up and leave. To go where people have their roots really planted in places, especially those families, those people that have lived there for multiple generations, black, white, and everyone else, and whose identity is being this Midwest person working in these industrial jobs, these factory jobs. So, yeah, they feel a sense of loss. That's not just the white people there. It's everybody. It's obviously the black people that you mentioned.
Of course.
So the difference is the white people took that shit and blamed the other. And not even their own political representatives. Many times Democrats, they blame the other with anger, with, like, nihilism, with not stupidity, but like a kind of fact freeness.
Yeah, just obfuscating what is the actual
right. It's just
denial, like, basically.
Yeah, just a lashing out, and we're fed that as well, definitely to be sure. And, you know, a divisive strongman politics, they'll respond very well to that. So, in towns like that and across that entire region, many places that had been very pro-labor, unionized industrial cities and towns, many people flipped from being longtime Democrats to voting for people like voting for Trump, because Trump can fan those flames and says a couple of things that potentially would benefit them, but governs and is bolstered by a Republican Party that whose whole economic agenda is
against unionization.
Yeah, it's like this whole plutocratic. Yeah, it's this whole plutocratic thing. So it's all like a weird irony that just continues along a cycle of them being forever upset that, you know, jobs are not coming there.
And they're like voting for people that are like, all right, let's take the jobs away. And then
but they're also voting for people that are supporting having the jobs taken away. And, you know, that definitely is not totally the Republicans' fault by any means. I mean, the globalized economy grew out of the 90s, out of the Bill Clinton era. So,
I mean, at the end of the day,
it is what it is.
Like, do you want Chinese jobs? Do you want to live? And will you pay for things to be more expensive?
That's the deal we made. The deal we made was, I don't mean to cut you off, but no, we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah. What's the deal?
The deal we made was, oh, you want the iPhone? Shit, iPhone X now is $1,000. If the iPhone X was made here, that shit would be like $2,000 based on our labor laws and more everything labor related, work related. Maybe more than that. So that's the deal that we made. And if, you know, there's an argument to be had about that. I think more people implicitly agreed to that and thought that everybody would be fine. And that wasn't the case. And in raw numbers, the majority of the country came out well by moving
to service,
manufacturing, overseas and becoming a more knowledge and service-based economy. But you still had a large crop of people that were dependent on that, the vestiges of the previous economy. And a large chunk of that has been stationed in the Midwest. And we're just seeing, what do we say, like Ohio just falling off the face of the planet? Yeah, like, man, these places are just dying just very
Ohio
slowly.
Has so many cities. It's, so, you know, it's this place where the industry was propping up dozens of, like, 120,000 town.
Yeah.
Population cities.
Yeah, when I fell into some, like, learning about John D. Rockefeller, you know, YouTube loop or something like that, it's like, that shit started in Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Youngstown, Toledo, Columbus, Cincinnati, like 6-7 cities with 100,000 people.
Yeah.
And now no work.
Yeah, or just an all in menial jobs. There's no, as you said, there's just no real industry in these places. And the car factories are closing up little by little. There's a handful of manufacturing jobs there, but definitely not enough to support the still large number of people that live there. Ohio is, oddly enough, one of the largest states in the whole union.
Right.
So, let's circle back though. Bring the barge back.
Bring it home.
Like, they didn't have enough time for this shit.
We know shit fucked up. We now, like, this is not the solution.
But we're not about to,
light the country on fire.
Yeah, or go with the clearly, dumb person because it might make
stick a thumb at everybody.
I don't know. We've always had to be, even if you're not super politically inclined, most black people know better.
Just savvy.
Know better. Because it's like a survival thing. You know better. So, when I started reading it, I think you had sent it to me. I was a little, not apprehensive. I was like, damn, I think they're probably going to show a couple of like Trump-supporting black people in Youngstown. And that has its own, that's just a kind of like separate table conversation.
Yeah.
But based on the things that we've been discussing, there's a rationale to support Trump if he were to be doing the things that he's saying to do. Racism aside, but there weren't any. It was just like normal black people, like, yeah, I guess we just gotta like support the Democrat because I don't know, the other side's wild, like they don't fuck with us anyway. It was just funny. It was actually like
I felt very seen. It was just like, yeah, what's what we thought.
It was like, yeah, maybe a handful. Plenty of disenchanted people didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. I fully understand that. I wasn't running to the polls when I did it either. It was like, yeah, we can't vote for this.
Like, why? Why would we do that?
Yeah. And that was in Youngstown, a place that's seen it, taking the brunt of how the whole country has flipped in a relatively short period of time, and then pretty much just been left. And there's a lot of people to blame. But that doesn't mean that you go in the complete illiberal opposite direction.
I guess to put on a bow on it, hurt people hurt people. But not black people?
Not black people.
We take fair, we understand. Yeah, man, I'm glad this piece exists. That's pretty much what I
think there have been this one was probably like the most substantive one thus far. Cause this one was definitely just like the smack on the forehead of like the of white coastal liberal types of like, oh, this is what the middle of the country is thinking. It's like, nah, it's like mad other people there, and everybody is not some like fervent Trump supporter. Like they are going through similar things and have similar issues. So they're just waiting for the right person or the right politics, right messages.
I think that's a good way to sum it up, man. That's it's a fire bow. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we need a GoFundMe for like Ohio?
You gotta pay for the shit in Libra though.
Is GoFundMe part of that fucking web that we saw?
Fucking scam and shit. Don't they get a percentage?
That Bilderberg web we saw, the Bilderberg group.
The Bilderberg, they're on there. Andrew String Capital, all these fucking evil companies. It's funny. It's like the way they're being treated out there, they might as well be, you know, third world countries.
Oh, shit's rough out there, man.
It's terrible, man. It's fucked up.
Shit's rough, and it is a difficult quandary to solve with free and open markets and, you know, free movement of people, free trade. So, you know, from an economic perspective.
I mean, it requires actual government oversight, which is anathema to what Republicans want. Because you'd be like, oh, we will have to do a certain thing where we'll bolster the salary for service jobs. You know, just things that will, like, save this shit in a way. But they're like, oh, fuck that, nigga, free market.
I think in particular they have to make large investments in that region.
Yeah.
Whether it's in their education systems or maybe some type of benefits, incentives to have companies, particularly new age companies, yeah, you know, green energy, green energy and shit like that.
I mean, this has been happening for years. Shout out to the TWA or whatever. When my man Franklin Roosevelt was like, listen, we got to get these niggas in Tennessee, Kentucky, all this shit. They need, you know, electricity and shit. And it literally started an organization and internal governmental agency to get them all up and running. And that's, I think that's where we need right now. And we need, I guess, only a Democrat to do something like that.
Yeah, because it's a weird... perverse situation where you don't want the government to like help you or help the area, or at least a conservative mind wouldn't. But it's like the companies are clearly not, the motherfuckers are leaving. Like niggas are out. GM and all these other companies, they still around, or many of them still around. They just left.
I mean, and also their headquarters still exist in these places. Yeah, Detroit, of, you yeah. know, they there's companies here. They just don't have the breadth of the physical manufacturing. So there's a way to bring you guys into the fold. You can still feel like you're part of that. Maybe they can do some incentive, other kind of tech programs with those self-driving cars. I don't know. Something to make y'all feel like we're Midwestern. We cars.
I know.
makes them feel good.
Some new trains and shit. Transcontinental.
I don't know.
Midwest railroads.
Some shit. You know, y'all can make the blockchains. I don't know.
Blockchain.
Do a hammer.
People having ideas to move various federal agencies like out into the Midwest.
That's smart.
Man, nigga, like,
just do something.
Do some shit, nigga. Niggas out there bored.
No, legalize opioids. Make it the capital of heroin.
Oh my god.
Oh, I'm joking, guys. It's been another great sending link.
Yeah.
We've had a good time today. I'm glad some of the things that we've talked about seem to be moving in positive directions, even if they are dystopian or...
Which ones? OJ getting a Twitter?
Yeah.
Or Black Youngstown?
Mostly Black Youngstown. OJ getting a Twitter, I don't know. That's more of the tech weird future we live in. But I don't know, man. Hopefully, the cynicism that we all experience of coloreds will wash over the rest of us, and we will adequately vet various institutions in our life, whether it be OG on Twitter or Facebook having our money.
And you are the optimistic person this time. I like that.
You know, it's a switch. I mean, it's not optimism. It's more of that. It seems to be happening, and I'm commenting on it because, you know,
okay.
Shout out to nihilism, y'all. It's real. Yeah. Nothing matters.
Local nihilist here. Yeah.
But yeah, check us out everywhere you need to check us out on. Shout out, Dad. Listen to the last episode if you listen to this one, you know. Happy belated Father's Day, even though I talked to you on Father's Day.
Shout out to my pops, too. I doubt he listened to this shit. I don't even know if he knows that dude. Yeah, he does. He does. I don't think he listened to it, though. But shout out to him. Indeed. Shout out to all my fathers out there. I got a couple homies and peer relatives that are young fathers. Shout out to y'all.
Shout out to everybody.
But I'm not one.
Even though we're a week late. Three days late. It's not that bad. 3 days. Yeah, so keep listening. We got more fire coming next week. And enjoy the links.
We should be closing out to Mo Fire by Lil Wayne. Just like 5 seconds of that. She was fire.